Jackson, present. That was four. Turn it over to you, Jess.
Perfect. Has everyone had an opportunity to review the agenda? Any additions or deletions that need to be discussed?
I move to present to approve the minutes as presented.
Second.
Thank you, John. All in favor, please say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Perfect. Moving on, approval of minutes. I'm assuming everyone had an opportunity to read through the last month's minutes. If so, would certainly entertain a motion.
Motion to approve minutes from last meeting.
Thank you, John.
Second.
Thank you, Mark. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Samantha, did you have anything you wanted to add in there?
No.
Okay.
Aye.
Sorry. No action items at this point, so we'll just jump to number five for discussion, city's efforts to help with COVID-19 and plans to for inclement weather, etc. And with that, we'll turn it over to Tori and Anthony.
All right, I'll start out. Thank you. Good morning, everybody. So just to reiterate, we had conversations in previous meetings to discuss the efforts that the city's been involved in to offset the COVID, the pandemic. And it'll speak a little bit more to the grants, what we've done in the past, and what we plan to do as we enter inclement weather, colder weather. One comment was mentioned or brought up, what about the efforts to erect temporary structures or structures in general in an effort to maintain distance? Cafeteria is typically indoor. If you can't congregate indoor, businesses have had to adapt by making space in parking lots and things like that. So I talked to Lisa Anderson Holby with Community Development Department, and my understanding is they'll update the COVID. The City of Salem has a COVID response page, and I can share the link with you. It basically goes through a lot of what I'll talk about as far as grant and financial assistance and other business assistance, but we'll also update it to include applications. So as far as temporary, there is a process to get a tent permit, and I believe that's the duration for that is for 6 months, and then you reapply. So if it's continuing as it has been, it's just something that has to be continued to be pursued. And then as far as like a permanent structure to offset those things, then nothing's really changed. There's just the building permit approach. It'd probably be a good idea, if it is affecting parking and things like that, to go through a pre-application process. And again, that's searchable on the city website or through Google, and I can also make that link available. But that's something that, that way you can come in with a proposal conceptually and say to various departments, this is what we plan to offset, to make sure that we can be safe for our employees or our customers. And then you'll hear from everybody in the room, from fire, engineering, community development, whether that would work or not. So they just basically give you some direction so you can move forward with getting your permit in for a permanent structure. So any questions along those lines? Like I said, we'll have an update to the page with that reference. We already have websites with the tent application approach as well as the permits. But I'm happy to share that with the group.
So Tori, there's actually, I think, a small update to that. The community development is working on a temporary policy that council could consider potentially as soon as October 26th that would allow, under our emergency order, related to the pandemic, some flexibility for tents in the future. So aimed at addressing setbacks, waiving some setback requirements, potentially allowing encroachments, some of the things that may create challenges if in the example you're in a parking lot with a tent, this temporary policy would add some flexibility. So stay tuned on that. I know, Mark, you and I had a conversation offline. I'm happy to talk with any business that has specific questions or concerns and try to broach the issues with the various departments. So that was, just wanted to add that that brief update.
Go ahead, Mark.
I was just saying, are there any other considerations besides tents, the city, I mean, more of a holistic approach? I don't have any suggestions. I'm just curious, is this a tent-specific conversation, or are there other allowances? Are other businesses trying to mitigate COVID in any other ways that we can try to accommodate?
So far, I think where we've been hearing the most from businesses is downtown. We have the weekend, I think we are calling it summer streets. It's now fall streets, but the weekend closures, hearing from businesses with, interest in winterizing those spaces, the temporary policy. So Mark, I think it's heating potentially for outdoor seating, those restaurants that want to expand seating or social distancing into the winter. It's cover from the rain. And then I'm hearing from some manufacturing businesses with those similar concerns for different reasons. Those are the ones that I'm aware of. We're certainly hearing from businesses with questions about other issues, but in terms of the addressing the preparing for the winter, those are the ones I'm hearing, eating and staying out of the rain.
Makes sense.
Annie, do you want to keep going with as far as grant response and other
Sure. Responses to? So Tori told me that you had interest in sort of an update. I had shared one earlier this spring, I think, an update on how the city is working with businesses in terms of COVID. So far, we've deployed 208,000 in grants. That's two different grant issuances, one which was dedicated to cultural and heritage nonprofits, and the other, which was the bulk of that funding, just over 180,000 to small businesses. We have another round, and so if you're interested on specifics, that went to 58 small businesses, although we opened that up to businesses with up to 25 employees. The majority of the applications were from much smaller businesses, in the 0 to 7, so sole proprietors up to those with 7 employees. And then we have another grant round out now. We applied and will continue to apply for other sources of funds to be able to offer additional grants. And this one is through Business Oregon and their emergency business assistance. So we have that out now. It closes today at 5. So that was in the Statesman. Trying to get it out as broadly as we can, but if you know of businesses that have interest, send us an email. There's something on the homepage of the city. We'll open that back up if we don't, if we still have money after reviewing those first applications. But again, this is a state program we're administering. The state's qualifications for that are that businesses are, again, that small business range from a sole proprietor up to 25 employees. There is a reduction if the business received CARES Act funding, because some of this money from the state is coming from the CARES Act, federal funds. That the business must reduce their maximum grant amount by the amount they received in PPP or EIDL. There's another round of this same funding that was just announced. The city isn't able to apply because it's just eligible for financial institutions. So, you know, there are two organizations in our region that are receiving this funding. One is Willamette Workforce and the other is Central Willamette Credit Union. There might be others, but the point of this next round beyond what the city has is that it will be more flexible in that if a business received CARES Act funding, they'll be eligible for the full amount, and that's up to $50,000. Again, the state requirements are for this round are for smaller businesses. So we have some CDBG, some federal funds that the city has received that we intended to put out the door later this year, early next year for small businesses. But given the majority of the programs have been in that area, we're considering, looking at other, opening that up to larger businesses. So certainly open to what you're hearing in the community in terms of concerns. We want to make sure that our funds are reaching a variety, a mix of business types, and I will stop there. So more to come on that, but that's where we are at this point.
I want to welcome Brandon.
Good morning.
Join us at 7:47.
Annie, how are businesses doing downtown in general? Are we seeing vacancies? Are you aware of impending moves? Just in general, how is the economic health of our downtown?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think it depends on, I think we've seen certainly some downtown businesses that are doing really well because, for example, I can think of some examples where they've pivoted and they have a much stronger social media presence and they're doing, they've thrived with the takeout business or with, offering something new or different in with the outdoor seating. I think those businesses that I can think of are the restaurants, some restaurants in particular. I certainly hearing from retail businesses, and I don't hear maybe as much as our downtown team does from downtown businesses, but what I'm hearing when people reach out, it's some of the clothing shops and some of those other retail businesses that are struggling to get folks to come in. So I think it really depends on the type of business. We've seen during the pandemic several businesses open. Ernie and Gray, a new art store downtown. There's a new skateboard shop downtown that just opened. Fork 40, the food hall, opened in the midst of a pandemic. There's another art gallery that opened downtown. And then we've heard an announcement, I think it was in the Statesman, that one of the businesses in the Fork 40 food hall is closing, the Waffle Press. So some closures, but I'm seeing more openings than closures. Sure, we and our downtown team may have more data on that, but does that help at all?
Yeah, thank you.
Annie, are you getting a strong response from businesses applying for the grant?
We are. I wasn't sure because Business Oregon still had this requirement in here regarding the CARES Act, and what I'm hearing is that most businesses have received some type of assistance through the CARES Act. But we are. I don't know the current count this morning, but I think as of yesterday we had over 50 applications, so it's not a couple hundred. But the types of, we're getting lots of emails, lots of calls, and certainly the Statesman article generated a lot of interest.
And I'm sorry, I probably read it somewhere, but I'm failing to remember. How many businesses, if the max $1 was allotted to each business, not suggesting that it is, but how many businesses could potentially be affected or helped?
So through this current program, again, it's $238,000 that we received from the state. The maximum grant amount is $25,000. That's based on your business size. So that's for a business with between 21 and 25 employees. what we're seeing so far in the applications is it's much smaller businesses that are applying. A lot of them are the sole proprietor, which would receive a maximum grant amount of $5,000. So I'm guessing we might be able to help, you know, between 40 and 60 businesses, depending again on their size, the size of business that applies.
Thank you.
The other thing I'll just mention, in case you're aware of businesses with these type of needs, we're also just providing technical assistance where we can. I'll just give you a couple quick examples. You know, we had a business close, a brewery, and we were able to, well, it was very unfortunate, we were able to help the employees with some assistance, connecting with the unemployment department and assistance, so that those employees can have benefits post-closure. You know, those kinds of services are out there. There was another business who was having some supply chain issues getting bottles for their product, glass bottles of a certain size. So we were able to reach out to some of the state and regional networks to try to help find suppliers across the country that might have this type of bottle that they needed to, you know, they were currently stopped, weren't able to process for a period of time. Those are just some examples, people trying to find workers, you know, connecting with some of our workforce agencies. So just mention those in closing, that there are some other ways that we've been able to help and will continue to. So.
Thank you. So, Tori, are we moving on to the gateway sign conversation?
Yeah. Yep. Okay, so a few meetings back, around the time that we were approaching budget, probably in the February timeframe, we talked about opportunity projects. And one of those that came up was a gateway sign, and an area was identified, and I'm going to share my screen here as far as location. As you either come off the ramp from the Marion Street Bridge or you're proceeding to the ramp, that's kind of the area in question that was brought up as a potential option. You see my screen, my map. So you can see Goodwill here to the west, Tin Awning to the east, Wall Street, and then the bridges. So this island space here is something that was brought up by the group as having potential for gateway treatment. You know, obviously a lot of visibility. So I've spoken with both Public Works and ODOT. It's not good news, given the location. I'm gonna highlight it here too. I'll share another part on the screen. Just to highlight the area a little bit more. I have multiple things up here with me. Okay. It's like maybe I'm sharing my whole screen. Anyway, this might not be working. So.
That was working, Tori.
It was working? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So again, just to highlight here, you know, the red area was, you know, a very large area where a gateway, and as far as a gateway too, you know, we can't identify it as West End as if it's a separate city, even though it used to be, but the discussion was along the lines of recognizing entering the West End District part of Salem, the city of Salem. So what we found out in conversation with Public Works and ODOT is that this, the signs that are in that median now are one of the most hit in the state. And so Public Works shared images with me that show tire tracks going through. So I think it's on a regular basis. You know, if you have, I guess, a bigger vehicle, it's a straight path rather than having to go around things. So for those reasons, and also from a public works standpoint, even though it's ODOT right away, it would have to be public works maintaining it. So there are concerns about just safety in general, getting out there, making sure it's maintained. You know, pedestrians thinking that there's an approach to cross through there as well could be a potential issue. So as far as that as a location, we are starting the design of Second Street. So there may be other opportunities with streetscaping elements to identify the West Salem district. So in this particular location, it's not looking like it's going to work out. When I was talking to ODOT, they were saying that, you know, you might get a group together, get a concept, spend some money, but it from their opinion, it had probably 10% likelihood of success. So rather than spend the money going that route, we'll probably have to start at the beginning and discuss other options for that. I wanted to share, since I'm in the sharing mode, I'll share the images that Public Works shared with me as well, as far as the car is cutting through. Can you see the tire tracks? They used to be, Julie Warnke with Public Works shared an image that had like those plastic cones basically to identify that curb, because I think it's hard to see for people. People exit the Marion Street Bridge going pretty fast, trying to make that light. And so I think it was to help identify the curb there, and they just all got destroyed. So that was 2014, and since, I think they've all been just taken out because it didn't help divert traffic away from it. So the sign that I mentioned ODOT said they had to replace on a regular basis is this 221 Edgewater Street sign. So
did they say how often?
The only thing that he told me, he didn't give me a frequency, he just said that it's one of the most replaced signs in the state. That's all that he said second, but I didn't want to quote the second most hit sign in the state.
I personally haven't seen that sign. Down.
I don't know. I've never seen it down.
Huh. I've never seen it down either. But we have had people, like cars go up on our property there where I think the wireless building is. But when we have situations like that, at least for us, how we manage it, we have some very large decorative rocks, and then all of a sudden people stop hitting it. So, I mean, it just depends. That's a super easy spot to miss and run right over.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's something they said, you know, reinforce it with a lot of concrete. So that, so then it becomes a safety. You know, then you're, people are exiting 50 miles an hour hitting a concrete sign. Anyway, we can still, you know, I can go down that path and see if we can do something substantial. We can look into concepts and get estimates if it's something to pursue. I'm just sharing it with the group as far as the information I've got back from Public Works and ODOT. It's an uphill battle, but you know, if we want to fight it, it would be a nice decorative area if we could get people to identify it as a, you know, a nice landscape sign area rather than a.
How uphill is uphill battle?
Right? Well, they told me 10% likelihood of getting it through the process, so that's.
Actually,
be a bit, but
yeah. Okay.
Has there been any discussion about there's that public works piece of property right next to the lighthouse or mortgage building? It's got a little pump station.
Yeah.
No discussion there for any signage.
Yeah, we could
bring something. On the right hand side as you're coming off.
Yeah. You can go back to your screen sharing it.
Yeah. Hi, Kathy.
I apologize. The district worked on my computer yesterday, and they removed my other email that I log on with, so I'm back to my phone.
I'm sorry, that's frustrating. I had my own computer issues last time, so I totally understand.
I apologize. Well.
All right, so we were talking about a gateway sign. Another group had talked about locating it at the kind of the bridgehead. There is a big area there, but even for the area that you can see tire tracks through there, it was an uphill battle for ODOT. This is the ODOT controlled right of way. It'd have to be maintained by Public Works. So this particular location is not going to work out. But as far as like the lighthouse, I want to say, Jeff, is this the area that you're talking about?
No, it's to the east. So go back to that intersection.
Oh, yeah, I'm going west. Yep. Sorry. Yep. It's over here.
No. Yeah. Now we're going the right way. So there's the building in the corner. If you go back to the intersection that you were just on.
Yep.
The bridgehead. Now go slightly northeast from there. There's a brown patch of grass with a little tiny building.
Right there.
Yeah.
So the City of Salem owned property is just to the east of that lighthouse / Crown Real Estate building.
Okay.
It's like, directly across the street from the Salem Tetonauing parking lot.
Okay.
That'd be a great spot.
So if you, Tori, I don't know if we have the right spot. If you just put your mouse pointer over the brown patch.
Oh, sorry. Even more east. That's, okay, over here.
Even more east, yep.
Yep. So the pump station, okay. Yep,
there we go. Yep, that's the site.
Okay.
Anyways, that's already owned by the city, and it's just a part of an old, I think, a pump station for water.
Yeah. So, with Second Street design, we're just identifying the engineering consultant that we'll be working with. There'll be a public process for that as far as bringing people in, because we want to incorporate some streetscape elements similar to just continuation of the Edgewater District. So, there might be opportunities to put signage and put other enhancements to get that sense of continuing the kind of the downtown, that Edgewater, Main Street, Hill Street. So that it's not, there are other options, and we can look into the city owned pump house. It's not the probably most ideal as far as visibility, but it looks like it could use some treatment. So that's something we can look into.
When you, Tori, just to ask, when you say it's not ideal for visibility, why do you say that? I mean, obviously that bridgehead location would be the best, but.
Yeah, right here, with all the traffic that's there, it definitely has that sense of exiting from, you know, the broader part of Salem and entering the West Salem District. So that's really ideal because you really see it. From here, I mean, I guess my understanding of kind of a gateway sign, they're not the best examples. I heard reference to the city of Kaiser, or you know, those kind of where you get a sense of entering. I've seen City of Salem signs, and I don't want to knock it publicly, but there's some that they just look very engineered. They're just blue. They almost look like a, you know, just your typical traffic, like an ODOT sign. So I guess in my mind, I pictured something that, you know, could be 4 or 5 feet tall, with some landscaping around it. So as far as visibility for something like that, you know, it's just, I don't know, there's not that much traffic. It's not really like a highway sign, like a Highway 22 sign where it's like in the air and you see it. This is more on the ground, and I think it'd be, you know, given the buildings and things, a little bit harder to see potentially. That's just my 2 cents.
Sure.
Hey, Tori.
Yeah.
So going back to the uphill 10% area, that would be like super great if you know, with that landscaping, like completely redo that whole area so people, there's no way they wouldn't be able to miss it. So build it up, put the big rocks around it, you know, lights going up on the West Salem, you know, I mean, that's like the optimal spot. And if it's, you know, more than just a piece of concrete that people think they can drive through, opposed to a full-on landscaped, can't miss it, like, hello, there's some signs here.
Yeah.
I mean, how, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So I guess what I can do is, we have consultants, I can engage like a landscape architect consultant, get a sense of, you know, if we were doing concept of what something could look like, how much that costs, I can bring it to you guys and see, you know, if we want to push for like that 10%, if we wanted to do a pitch and show how it can be safe and, as you know, nice looking at the same time, we can do that, and I'll have a little bit more information in that process. Maybe we can identify a couple of other locations. So what I'll do is I'll look at, you know, with the Second Street project, if there's any location that could work there, and also I'll look and see if there are some city properties in the area, other parts that could work as well. So yeah, I can come back with more information.
Yeah, I don't want to be the only one that, you know, I mean, obviously, is everyone in agreement, or I don't want to kick a dead horse, basically. I don't know how these things work, but it seems like it'd be worth fighting for. I mean, we have them at
the rate. I can bring more information back.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Is there somewhere we can look up crash history at this intersection? I mean, if there's like, if there's vehicles that have gone over this and maybe impacted, you know, traffic that's waiting at the light, maybe that's something that we can say, hey, you know, we understand this could cause other wrecks, but at least it will just be a single car wreck versus multiple.
Yeah. So you're coming from the standpoint that it could provide like a safety buffer. You know, you're going to have someone crash
just
into you, trying to hit another car or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Point.
Yeah. I mean, if we get crash statistics, I just don't know where to look for that. If ODOT keeps records of that,
yeah,
available to the public, or.
And I can push, so I have a few different contacts with ODOT that I've been talking to on this particular project. So I can reach out to the same person that said that scenario that's hit all the time and get, see if they have the numbers. I mean, they have to know, have to allocate funds to re erect the sign, whatever, so they should probably have some kind of information there. So I can pull more information together and bring it back to the group.
Corey?
Yeah.
Weren't there some conversations with ODOT as well that the upcoming paving project was going to implicate this space, and that, you know, anything we do, if we decided to pursue this location, would probably need to wait until after they were done with their paving project, because like the physical layout could change?
Yeah, the physical layout could change. We'd want to work in coordination with them. So that's the other group that I've been talking to. I talked to probably five different people at ODOT. Carol came and updated the group on the paving project, so I've talked to her and different folks with that project. So you're right, that shape of the island could change, but it's a good timing from that perspective too, because while they're determining what that will be and when that construction will occur, you know, if we were to do it quick enough, we could do something. I don't want to get hopes up too much, because it seemed like it's the 10% battle would be an arduous one. So, but I'll see what I can do as far as pulling more information back together, as far as like what a concept plan would look like from a like a design consultant, and then other potential locations, and see then, you know, maybe then you guys could take an action and say, yeah, we want to fight that 10%, and we go from there.
I would think, and I apologize for dropping out. I'm not sure what happened there. It's never happened before. But, and I missed most of that conversation, but I would just like to echo Samantha's desire for something there. I like that area. I think that area is a blighted area, and with some improvement to the landscape or the architecture of that area right there, with the inclusion of a welcome to West Salem sign, or what, you know, welcome, or whatever that ends up looking,
yeah,
like.
Sure.
Regardless, I think that whole area looks pretty blighted. It's been that way since I can remember as a kid, and so I'm certainly in favor of it. But again, I get the idea that it's a uphill battle, but I tend to be a big dumb animal who likes to go push things uphill, so.
All right. I'll bring more information back. Any other questions on this particular area while we're talking about? All right.
Looks like we have a pretty light schedule today. We're kind of reaching towards the end here where we're kind of giving updates for Edgewater Partnership, West Island Business Association, Neighborhood Association, etc. Tori, do you have anything you want to jump in right out of the gate from your perspective, and then we can go down the list of board members?
Sure. I attended the last Neighborhood Association meeting. Just as a guest, I didn't have anything to report. It's transitioned from the previous chair. They're holding elections at the October meeting, October 12th. It's Monday at 7 p.m., so it's Zoom now. There were a few times where I tried to tune in just to see what the group's talking about, because, you know, we talked about it as a group. It's a good idea to gauge what the feeling is in the neighborhood. It was Facebook Live at the time, so I was having to work through, I don't do Facebook, so I was having to go through it with my wife or my daughter, so I just never pursued it. So Zoom is a little bit easier. They send a link out somewhere to this meeting, and they have the group on. So I know it's their annual meeting, so they'll be electing chair. I think they're filling all their spots, so it might be a good one to, you know, if you're a West End resident or business owner, maybe tune in and share your thoughts on who you'd like to have lead the group. So that's October 12th, 7 p.m. That's all that I have as far as the list that we have with Edgewater and the Neighborhood Association.
Thanks, Tori. I think that's a pretty important deal for those of us that are in West Salem. I know Brandon, I think you live in West Salem, don't you? And I'm gonna have to tune into that. Mark, you live in West Salem. You're probably you're in West Salem, but outside the, doesn't matter. You're in West Salem. You got a business there. It's fine. Probably something we should be looking at.
It is that way, you know, as far as Zoom. I stayed on quite some time. They got to a point where they were debating bylaws and how they wanted to handle the Zoom protocols because they didn't have anything. You know, we're in kind of a new world that way. So as far as voting and that process, once it got to that point, there were so many people, I don't know, I want to say maybe over 20, that conversation kept going, so I tuned out at that point. So that's the nice thing about it. You can jump on, jump off, see, you know, track the agenda, and jump on when you're interested, and, you know, exit, mute it.
And Tori, that Zoom link, is that on the city's website for the neighborhood associations? Is that right?
So I think it gets posted on there. The agenda should be posted. The agenda typically has the Zoom link. It's interesting that way because it's a separate and distinct organization, but Neighborhood Services does provide some resources, and there's coordination as far as making the agenda available. So what I can do is I signed up for the agenda to be sent to me. That's something that you can do as a resident or a property owner too, but I can also forward it to the group. So as I get them, I can forward it if you're interested. What I'll do is I'll just send it to everybody. So if you don't want it, let me know. So yeah, that agenda will have, similar to what we do, it'll have the Zoom information on it, the login information.
Perfect.
They have a Facebook page too. I think they're in the process of transitioning that because I think they have some issues with it. So I would look to the agenda with the information rather than Facebook right now. I don't know if they've transitioned that yet.
Yeah, perfect. That works better anyway. I'm not on Facebook, so selfishly. Kathy, how are you doing? We haven't seen you in a while. Happy to see you. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling great. Everything's going well. Doing
good.
Well. As long as the district will stay out of my computer, I'll be in a lot better shape.
You always have cool artwork. This is a different one now. It's amazing.
Yeah. I built the dining room around. It's huge.
Very nice.
It.
Wow.
It's one my uncle did that I drove down to California to pick up. So it's different.
Well, wow. A trailer. It's a big piece of art. It's an art.
Kathy, is there anything that you'd like to just kind of give an update on what's going on with the school board and your thoughts on how maybe Zoom's going with the students and things of that nature?
I'd be happy to. So no matter how you phrase it, it's not ideal. And what we're doing doesn't really deliver a great program to kids. I mean, kids need to be back in school, in my opinion. And lots of parents have been really challenged to get their kids taken care of, to get somebody there, and to see that the kids are online and attending. I'm 100% for getting kids back in school just as the earliest possible date. And I think Kate Brown is going to loosen up a little bit on the matrix, which pleases me to get kids back in. I would love to see them back in just as soon as possible. And I think all staff feel that way. We're doing the best we can. And in health of presenting, we had a 56-page document from Department of Ed on what we had to do to get kids back in school. And I just feel strong like that's the only way we can really adequately educate them, especially the younger ones. And we're getting there. It's just going to take a real push to get schools open. But until we do that, it's not good. I mean, we have parents that are even worse than me on computer knowledge. So that's a problem. And kids don't relate as much to that. I mean, it's real easy for younger kids to have that in front of them, and they are not really engaged. I mean, they're running their little cars around or playing or doing something. They're there, but it just is not the same. So my big push is to get schools open. And as you know, there's a lot of pushback against the board these days. And the latest was in the paper that we were going to allow Black Lives Matter printed on shirts, printed on hats, displayed in classrooms. And I took an oath to go along with how the board voted. And, you know, I can dissent, which I did on that. And I do a little bit, but I am really tied to voting along with the entire board. So we'll see what happens. I don't know that I can support that entirely. I would like to see it along with something to say, I can't support the violence and what's going on in Portland in any way. That's just not my way. But it's what we're doing now, so we'll continue that. I'm interested in how other people feel about that. Am I out there by myself?
Well, before we got started on this, there was actually a conversation that Tori and I were having. Tori, are we able to have these types of conversations?
I would. I mean, this is a public meeting. It's going to be on YouTube. I would steer clear on that. Like politics, I think, you know, obviously there's the dynamics of what we're working on with Salem. I think those are clearly social issues that are very important to everybody. I would advise to be cautious. I mean, we're not I guess I can go through the policy. So I send it to everybody, And really what it gets at is either using your position as member of the advisor board to act like you're speaking with authority, because really as a group, you're advisory to council. So, you know, if you're going to a neighborhood meeting, or if you're going to council, or if you're reporting on something, usually, I mean, the approach is to reach a consensus of the group, take action, and then you have like a talking point you have to stay to. So that's where it's, you know, we try to keep this meeting clear of, you know, which just keep it focused on you know, the projects and things that are everywhere. Obviously, those impact. So I get it. I just, you know, it's up to you guys, your meeting. Let's use caution. I think it's going to go to the public.
Sure.
So
I would feel more comfortable, and Mark, you have a really good mind for this sort of thing, but I would feel more comfortable talking about points of fact, not opinion or conjecture. And as an example, you mentioned the criteria that the governor might loosen to allow kids to get back into school. I'm not sure that I even know what that criteria is. It would be interesting from my perspective to understand that criteria just for a little bit. And again, I want to get everyone the opportunity to chime in, Mark, John, Brandon, Samantha, anybody who has a different opinion than what I just shared, but if so, please chime in.
My only comments are, you know, this forum is West Salem Redevelopment Advisory Board, and we just need to keep our agenda on matters related directly, I think, to that. Once we get outside of that scope, the world gets really big and the conversations get really long.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
I agree. I'm with Mark on that.
I think offline, individually, I think we all have a range of emotions on all these topics.
Sure.
I think we can talk offline on those things. I think for this, yeah, let's just keep it focused on.
Yeah,
okay.
Pardon, I couldn't hear you.
I really like your art.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'll stick to my art. And I'm drop politics.
Well, it is informative. I mean, it's impacting everything. I mean, that is directly impacting. Like, kids, like parents having to adapt to their kids being home for school and everything. I mean, it has a direct impact. So
yeah.
I think it's a great update because I'm concerned about it. My kids are out of school right now. They're in college, and they're having to mitigate and manage that on their own. And it's challenging in and of itself. I can't imagine if I had, you know, I had a child who was like 5, 6, 7.
Well, I think the very topic that we're talking about now is politics. Is it politics or not? I mean, we've let it invade our school system where it doesn't belong, in my opinion. But it's their big time with school board, and it's their big time on people that call in. If you've watched that each school board night. So in any event, we're doing the best we can. We're trying to take care of kids and present everything we're allowed to present and to keep going. I'm just pushing hard, and I could use a lot of help. I think we all agree schools need to be open. Kids need other kids. They need just plain the education and the confidence that school can give them.
Well, thank you, Kathy. Samantha, how about with the West Salem Business Association? You're on that board. You're chairing that. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We're actually meeting today. Excuse me, tomorrow. We had to switch it. So more to come next meeting. I wasn't able to make the last board meeting, but we've recently put a list together in regards to West Salem businesses or over the bridge downtown that have been members in the past and aren't members now. So we're just trying to, again, ramp it back up, find what the normal is. So more to come.
I have a question about that.
Yes.
I was looking at your, you know, how you have the lunch meetings. I was curious to know if you guys are doing anything with Zoom, whether it was, you had your early, I forget what they were called, the
Morning greeters, yeah.
Morning greeters or something like that. Right. We can maybe do it virtually.
Yeah, so we're still doing the fourth Thursday Zoom. We're not obviously having lunch together. Yeah. And I put, I think last meeting a few of you had asked me to put you on the email list. And you did?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, good, 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 good. So yeah, I think last meeting, Jimmy Jones was our guest speaker. So I feel like we're getting a little bit more involvement with people joining those. So
nice.
Prior to that was Chuck Bennett. So yeah, we're still doing those, but no lunch.
Yep.
We really missed the lunch.
Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah, I think all of us missed some normalcy or some old ways, I suppose. But
It's going to be great when we actually all get to see each other in person. Exciting.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to live meetings again, for sure.
I hate virtual meetings. I'll fog my book there.
Thanks, Kathy.
Is anybody involved in the Edgewater Partnership? I've not been involved in any of that. I'm wondering if anyone has an update from that perspective.
I get the agendas on that. That's something I can track. I'm trying to work with Dwayne to get, because we need someone from a resident that lives in their renewable area as part of the board.
Yeah.
So I can track that too and share it with anyone who is interested in participating in that. I'll share the agenda on that one.
Okay. Well, anything else for topics that we want to maybe seek out for November for our next meeting? We're kind of at the end of the agenda, which, listen, I love that we're getting out a half hour early. I don't know about anybody else. I'm tickled with the gift of time because I never have enough of it. So with that said, if there's something more that we want to throw out for the November agenda, then now's the time.
So I'll just start really quickly. I don't mean to keep talking, but you guys can add to the agenda, but we do have Eunice that with an update to the Our Salem. So she'll be on and she'll speak to that. And then go ahead and chime in if there's anything else. I'll see what I can find too. If I can get more information on the uphill battle for that location for the gateway sign. If I can have it by next meeting, that would be ideal, because to your point, it'd be nice to time it appropriately with the ODOT project fully coming. So I'll see if I can have more information on that too.
Perfect. Well, with that, if there's, Mark, please.
I was just unmuting so I could say goodbye to everyone.
Okay, well, with that said, we've reached the end of the agenda, and I love getting out early. I hope everyone else does too, and I hope it makes for a great day for everybody. So thank you for attending.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Nice to see everybody.
Nice to see you.
Thank you, Tori.
Yep, good to see you, Sam.
All right. Take care, guys.
Bye.